Now let's take our Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 30, please. Isaiah chapter 30, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 3. Once again, I encourage you to take some notes and jot some things down that the Lord teaches you from the message this morning. And I thank you all for coming. It's good to see all of you again. And I'm excited about the time that we have together now in the Bible and what God wants to teach us. Isaiah chapter 30. Verses 1 through 3. You can follow along there as I read. The Bible says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." Let's pray. Lord, I think it's very appropriate for us to pause right before we get into the message and again come before you and say, Lord, we need you. We ask that you would teach us, that you would give us what we need. Lord, there's a lot of different people in this room gathered today and different needs for each person. Lord, you've given us this passage for this morning, and I ask that you would take this message and use it in the heart of every man here, in the heart of every lady, child, teenager, whoever needs we have here today, whatever we have, Lord, we ask that you would work. Lord, help us to recognize your position. Help us to recognize your solution that you've provided for us in life. We thank you for it, Lord, and we ask that you would work in these ways for your glory. Amen. I'm excited about an event coming up here in the month of April. I just looked it up on my calendar and I can't quite remember. I think it's April 21st or whatever. The teenagers here are supposed to know. It is the teen quizzing rally that will be coming up here in April. And at the quizzing rally, what will be happening is a number of churches in the area will be all coming together, meeting in this very room. And Brother Jim Fry will be conducting the quizzing for the 2008-2017 quiz season. And the teenagers, I believe, have been working hard to prepare for that day. And I think back on those days when I was a quizzer, when I was a teenager, with a lot of fond memories. I would have to admit, though, my first few years involved in quizzing, I did not dedicate myself to it like we should have. What happens is every year we study a book of the Bible like Philippians or Colossians or Galatians, and the teenagers, you're familiar with it because you've been doing it on Wednesday night. They really have to memorize it. I mean, if you really want to do well in quizzing, you have to just memorize the book. And that's a wonderful thing. And the ones who really dedicate themselves to doing that, praise the Lord, because they get a lot out of it. And it's a lot of fun then. So at the final rally, they'll all be gathered here, and I would encourage you, if you're available that Saturday, even to come. We will not be available, though we wanted to be here. I still don't think we'll be able to. We'll be out finishing up a revival meeting in western Pennsylvania the night before that, so I don't think we'll be able to be here in April for that day. But what happens is, all the teens, this whole room is full of teenagers and youth leaders, and it's an exciting time at the final rally. And during the final rally, the atmosphere is intense. The quizzers are ready. You have the final round, three chairs on this side, three chairs on that side. Brother Fry is down there in the middle with his little pulpit and beginning to give the questions to these nervous teenagers up here who are sitting on these chairs. When they stand up, the little light goes off and it shows who stood up first, and that teenager then has the opportunity to attempt to answer the question. So imagine with me as we get into this passage, this setting. Final rally, quizzers, six of them up here, and Brother Fry is saying something like this. Question number four. Question. And the teenagers are here shaking. And they hear the question. Someone stands up, answers that question. Well, we're already now to question number eight. And Brother Fry back there, he does it something like this. He puts his finger on the current question, and we hear him go, question number eight. Question. What is the... And a quizzer stands up right here. The quizzer then has to walk to the microphone. And imagine this quizzer. Now in the final round, the questions are not like this. And these quizzers are good. But often you'll see the quizzer come to the microphone and they kind of, they look all around and they have all kinds of different weird positions that they stand in while they think and buy time. What is the? And the responsibility of the quizzer at that time is to finish the question before they can answer it. What is the? What is the? And the quizzer maybe says something like this. What is the third son of Jacob? Who? What is the name of the third son of Jacob? And at that time, you'd hear Brother Fry go, I'm sorry, you may sit down. Teenager goes back to their seat, they sit down. What happens then is the quizzer on the very opposite side, they get to stand up, and they come to the microphone, and they start doing all their nervousness and everything. And Brother Fry then gives the whole question to them. So there's Brother Fry. What is the fourth word of the Bible? Now, questions are not like that at all, but let's just use this for example. What is the fourth word of the Bible? And... the quizzer, he's thinking, he's nervous, and time is passing very slowly for that quizzer. It's funny, if you're not good at quizzing, you don't say, I don't know, immediately, because that really looks bad. You wait like 30 seconds, and it feels like 5 minutes, and then finally you give in and say, I don't know. At least that's what I did. And then you go and sit down. And... So, all right, so the question is just given, what is the fourth word of the Bible? And the quizzer, he's all nervous, and he says, beginning. There, Brother Fry again. I'm sorry, you may sit down. The quizzer goes back and sits down. And then Brother Fry looks up and he says, the correct answer is God. God is the correct answer. And I'd like to preach a message this morning entitled, God is the Correct Answer. And it's interesting in Bible quizzing that often God is the correct answer. If you don't know the answer, you can say God, and sometimes, if you're lucky, you can get it right. And so God is the correct answer is a message I'd like to preach this morning. And in Isaiah chapter 30, we see... how God was the correct answer, but the people didn't get the right answer. They gave the wrong one. Here in Isaiah chapter 30, the history during this time period is the nation of Israel. You have the northern 10 tribes that split off from the rest of the nation of Israel, the southern 2 tribes, often known as Judah. The northern 10 tribes were often known as Israel. And they split off, and they continued to go down this downward spiral, this slippery slope, contrary to the direction that God wanted them to go. They were involved in sin, they were involved in idolatry and wickedness, and things weren't getting better. King after king after king, it just got worse and worse and worse, and eventually God, as their heavenly Father, had to do some disciplining. And so God warned them for many, many years. He worked with the nation of Israel, His chosen people, to try to bring them back into His love and fellowship and the place where He wanted them to be so He could just pour out His blessings on them. He tried to bring them back for many years. He sent preacher after preacher after preacher to the nation of Israel saying, you need to repent, you need to turn from the idols, or God is going to have to send His judgment. Eventually it got here to the point in the book of Isaiah where God had to judge His people. And so what the Lord chose to do, what the Lord had happen, is he used a pagan nation known as the Assyrians to come in. And the Assyrians rose to power during that time. The Lord allowed them, even though they were very wicked and they would be judged for their sin, the Lord allowed them to take over much of the Middle East during that time period. They came in, they conquered, and they destroyed. Well, it was before that time, about 722 BC, when they eventually took over Jerusalem and all. It was before that time that we're here in the passage. And Israel, they were trying to come up with some answers. How can we defeat this rising Assyrian power? How can we survive? How can we solve this problem that's before us? And they had a bright idea. They said, here's the correct answer. Egypt. Bad idea. It was the wrong answer. They gave the wrong answer, and they lost the final round as a result. So number one here, I want to notice, though, first of all, that Israel, they asked the wrong question. Number one, they asked the wrong question. Look at the passage here again in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 3. God said, "Woe to the rebellious children." Through the prophet Isaiah, through the preacher Isaiah, he said, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord." They were living in sin. They were steeped in idolatry. There was a sin problem in their lives, and God called them rebellious children. And then he said, "That take counsel, but not of me." What was happening was they were getting together. They were trying to come up with a solution, trying to get the answer to their problem. And they were taking counsel together. All the elders of Israel were gathering together saying, what can we do? And they came up with that idea. Let's form an alliance with the Egyptians. The Egyptians were another world power during that time, though their power had greatly waned. Assyria was strong. Even in Babylon, that would soon be growing as a world power. And Egypt, though it had been around for a long, long time, and still is today, Egypt was not very powerful during this particular time. But that's what they came up with. Let's go to Egypt. And so they were taking counsel. The Bible says, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. They were covering with a covering. I think that is the idea of trying to protect themselves, cover themselves. And this covering was forming an alliance with Egypt, trying to get help from Egypt to fight against this foreign pagan nation, the Assyrians. So that take counsel, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. And then it says that they may add sin to sin. You see, they were still of wicked hearts. They were still unrepentant. They were still rebellious children, God said. And they really intended to just keep on adding more sin on top of the sin they already had. They didn't have any desire to get right with Jehovah. They didn't have any desire to listen to the preaching of Isaiah. They wanted to do their thing. And so they started by asking the wrong question. They asked the question, what do we want? Instead of asking the question, what does God want us to do? They asked the wrong question. And folks, when we are going through our lives, we have, first of all, we have to ask a question. And it's that same question. What do I want versus what does God want me to do? And I want us to recognize from the Bible today that the right question to ask ourselves in life is not a mystery. It wasn't a mystery for them either. God had sent preacher after preacher after preacher to his nation, to his chosen people, Israel, and they were very informed as to what direction they should be going. And what question they should be asking. They knew the right question was to ask, what does Jehovah God want us to do? But instead, they said, what do we want to do? And the right question for us to ask in our lives is not a mystery today either. Take Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, or just verse 1, rather. It says there, a familiar verse, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So Paul was asking earnestly to the people he was writing to, because of all that God had done, his mercy. Hey, he's saying, I beseech you, because of all that God is and his mercy, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That last phrase there, oh, that just really jumps out at me every time I think about it. It only makes sense that I do what God wants me to do. And so it's not a mystery, friends, what the right question is for us to ask ourselves in life. The right question should be, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? It only makes sense that we go to the creator of the universe who made you and I and ask him what is his desire. But so many in this world, they're asking the wrong question. I would say many in our churches are asking the wrong question today. Maybe in our church here, in your own life, are you asking the wrong question? Are you saying, what do I want to do? Versus, what does God want me to do? So number one, they started by asking the wrong question. They said, hey, let's see what solutions we can come up with. What is it that we want to do? And they went and they did it. But number two, I want you to notice here that they gave then the wrong answer. They gave the wrong answer. See, friends, asking the wrong question will always lead to the wrong answer. And it did for them. They started off by asking, what do we want? Instead of, what does God want? And as a result, they gave the wrong answer, Egypt. They gave the wrong answer. You see, their answer was the way of the world. Instead of the way of God, it was Egypt. It was the secular thinking. It was the way of the world. It was self-dependence instead of God-dependence. It was trust in Egypt rather than to trust in Jehovah, and their solution was sure to fail. And it did. God told them it would, and it did. I want us to think about our own lives. If we don't ask the right question, we're going to end up giving God the wrong answer. And we must first be coming to God saying, what do you want me to do? And then we need to say, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Give the right answer. But sometimes we start off with the wrong question. Sometimes we have the right question, but we give the wrong answer. Instead of just being surrendered to the Lord, we want to hold on to our plans and what we want. And I want to do that, or I want to spend my time this way, instead of going to God and saying, God, what do you want me to do? And there's a lot of people today who will give the wrong answer, the world. And they start depending upon the world, and they start trying to find their satisfaction in what the world can offer, and a big career, or lots of money, or a relationship, or a nice house, or all these different things, some kind of recognition and status in the community. And they try to get the answer, the solution to their problems from the world, and from all these things that are destined to fail. And that's what happened here to the nation of Israel. They gave the wrong answer. They wanted the world. Friends, we need to recognize today that the wrong answer will never satisfy the quizmaster. It never will. It will never satisfy the judge of the universe. Because the only answer to give to Almighty God that will work is, yes, Lord, you are my authority, you are in control, and I will obey. Anything other than that is wrong, and you'll lose the final round. Anything other than that will lead to destruction, will lead to misery, will lead to dissatisfaction and a loss of joy. And so the wrong answer will never satisfy the quizmaster. Friend, I want to ask you, what answers have you been giving God lately? Have you been trying to find the solution to a problem in what you can come up with? In the counsel that you can get together in your mind? So that you can continue down the path of selfishness and sin that you had been seeking up to the point? Or have you been starting off by saying, God, I recognize you're the solution. You are the correct answer, and I'm coming to you in this area of my life. Sadly, the nation of Israel gave the wrong answer. Their wrong answer didn't satisfy the quizmaster, and we need to recognize this morning that the wrong answer will never satisfy you either, friend. It never would satisfy them. You see, they would go to Egypt, and it says in verse 2, that walked to go down into Egypt. That has the idea of them actually walking down to Egypt. They did indeed send a caravan, send some ambassadors down to Egypt during this time. They went down to Egypt and tried to form that alliance. Hey, you bring your armies up to us, and we'll get our armies together, and if we get our armies big enough, we'll be able to fight against the Assyrians, and we'll win the day and get the solution we're seeking. And they thought, boy, if we can get all that together, we'll be satisfied. We'll finally get the answer. And we'll be able to continue on and depend upon ourselves. And enjoy our sin as we have it. But the wrong answer will never satisfy you, friend. You may think I can go to the world and I can find what I'm looking for there. In this hobby or these possessions or this relationship or this status that I've been accumulating in my career. You may think that will satisfy me. That will give me the answer I'm seeking. But it won't, friend. It never will. You see, God has made it that only He can be the answer. Only He is the solution to everything in life. There is There's an important aspect of all that when it comes to just the very start of a relationship with God, and that's salvation. It's only Jesus Christ who can fix that problem. It's not anything that you can come up in your counsel, in your thinking, and the answers that you could provide for your eternal destiny. The only way that you can know for sure that you're right with God and your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven when you die is Jesus Christ. You see, God is the correct answer, friend. And I want to ask you, I don't know if you're visiting today or what or how much you know about Jesus, but have you ever made the choice to depend upon Him alone for forgiveness of your sins? Do you know for sure that's what you're trusting in today? Or have you been trusting in how much money you gave to a church? Or your goodness and kindness to the people in your neighborhood? Are you trusting in you were baptized at one point in your life, and you're saying, that's why God will let me into heaven, because I was baptized. You see, all these different things, people trust in them all the time, and they're all the wrong answer. Friend, God is the correct answer. And the only way you can be right before Almighty God and your sins forgiven and know that you have a home in heaven someday, the only way you can be saved is through Jesus Christ, God. He did everything that's needed for you to be saved. He took the punishment of your sins. He provided the way, and He said, if you just simply trust in what He did, then you can have the gift of eternal life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I ask you, have you ever done that? Have you ever trusted in Jesus Christ alone and what He did for your salvation? If not, then today you need to. Because, friend, God is the correct answer. There is no other answer. There's nothing you can do. It's everything that He did. The only right answer for the nation of Israel would be God. And so when they gave the wrong answer, they would surely find out that it wouldn't satisfy them and it wouldn't satisfy the quizmaster. Number one, they asked the wrong question. Number two, they gave the wrong answer. And number three, finally, I want you to recognize with me that they lost then the final round. They lost the final round. If you're a quizzer on quiz day and you keep giving the wrong answer, you're definitely going to lose that last round. And here the Bible says in verse 3, notice with me, "Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." God made it very clear through Isaiah's preaching to those people in that day, hey, if you depend upon the world to fill that void in your heart, if you depend upon your strength and what you can accomplish in life to be your satisfaction and joy, if you depend upon anything else other than God, then you will be shamed, you will be confused, and ultimately you will suffer great damage. And that is what the wrong answer will always lead to, friend. The wrong answer will always lead to shame, confusion, and defeat. Every single time. If it's an issue of sin in your life, a habit that's just been holding you down from being in fellowship with the Lord, it's a sinful thing and it's just seemed like it's overtaken you and you can't seem to get the victory. Hey, you need to go to God because He's the correct answer. And if you try to give the wrong answer, and if you give the wrong answer and you don't depend upon the power of Christ for the victory, then you will continue to be shamed by that sin that plagues you. You will continue to be confused by it and defeated by it. God is the correct answer, friend. I want to ask you, are you giving that answer today? In every area of your life, is it always coming back to God? Is it always depending upon Him? Depending upon Christ's strength? Tonight we're going to talk about that a little more. The strength of Christ. Friend, if you keep giving the wrong answer, it's not going to go well. Just like the nation of Israel, they suffered defeat. They depended upon Egypt. They depended upon the world. And Egypt came, helped them a little, and ultimately they were all destroyed by the Assyrians. Because that's what happens every time you give the wrong answer. Every time. It will never satisfy. It will always lead to shame, confusion, and defeat. In closing, I just want to share something that I've been reminded of recently. And you have heard before, but I want to remind you of it again because it's just a challenge to my heart and my life. I have a good friend, and you've met him before, Michael Dietrich. He was here not too long ago presenting their ministry to the Solomon Islands. And Michael shared his testimony, and his testimony has been a challenge to me ever since I first heard it back in Bible college when we first met. And you remember Michael Dietrich, not to lift him up or anything, but he as a teenager, as a 17-year-old young man, he wanted to go into the Marines. And Michael shared with us here that his dad asked him, "What do you want to do with your life?" And after some thinking and all, he was quite sure at that point he did not want to go into the ministry. He wasn't antagonistic toward it, but he just didn't want to do that. And so he said, "Dad, I want to go into the Marines." And so his father said, "All right, we'll look into that then. If the Lord's leading you that way, then we'll look into that." And of course, I'm not giving you all the exact words that were said, but this is how the story sort of went. And so it was not too long after that that they, I believe, got on the computer or made a phone call to the local recruiting office, set up an appointment for the next week, and Michael would be meeting with the Marine recruiter and beginning to go through that whole process. That day, he went to work. And I understand his job was to be snow removal, shoveling snow, and he put in a long day of work there in Missouri, and toward the end of the day, he started to feel that pain in his chest. And it wasn't long later, within an hour after that, he was found himself in the hospital, immense pain. His lung had collapsed mysteriously. He was a very healthy young man. He had never had these kinds of issues before, and just all of a sudden, his lung was giving him all kinds of trouble. He went through this whole process for the next 3 weeks or so, trying to recover from that, some surgery and different things, called the Marine recruiter back and said, "I'm sorry, I've missed my appointment. Here's what's happened to me up to this point." And he heard on the other end of the phone, "You know what this means, Michael. I'm sorry. You're not going to be able to be a Marine." Michael was devastated. He couldn't believe this. He had his heart set on this thing, and no longer the Marines, now what? And he thought, well, maybe, I believe the Marine recruiter said, maybe the Army will take you. All right, the Army. And so he tried that out, and just a little bit later, his other lung collapsed. You see, he would tell you, God was trying to get his attention. You see, Michael, our friend Michael, was giving the wrong answer. He was, asking the wrong question. He was saying, "What do I want to do?" And his answer was, "The Marines." Not that the Marines are wrong. God leads you that way, then go that way. But God was not leading Michael that way. God was trying to show Michael, you're going the wrong direction. And so Michael kept asking the wrong question, giving the wrong answer, until finally God really got his attention. And he decided to ask the right question, "God, what do you want?" And he gave the right answer. It was not too, I'm just going to condense the story down real quick. It wasn't too long after that the Lord showed him the Solomon Islands. He had interest in that area of the world for a long time, since he was a kid, because of a love for studying World War II and Guadalcanal, the battle there, and Solomon Islands. And he realized our country had invested so much in that area of the world, and we never sent a good missionary to the Solomon Islands. And so he made up his mind that day, "I'm going to start praying for one to go." You know the rest of the story then. It's not going to take long before God's going to send you. And that's a wonderful thing. And it was in Bible college then that the Lord made it very clear, you're headed to the Solomon Islands. And they got there a few weeks ago. And it is amazing what God is doing. But the point is, Michael was asking the wrong question. He was doing what so many of us do in life. What do I want? What would make me happy? What would bring me fulfillment? What is it that I want? And then they go for that. But when he realized that was the wrong way to approach life, and he started asking the right question, "God, what do you want?" And then he chose to give the right answer, "Yes, Lord, I'll obey." Then he began to receive the blessings that come along with it. Then he began to get those things straightened out. And friend, if we don't give the right question, we're going to lose the final round. It's guaranteed. God said it will lead to shame, confusion, and defeat. And friend, if you've been giving the wrong answer all this time in your life, I encourage you, it's time to get right with God. It's time to come to him today and say, "God, you're the correct answer. Egypt is wrong. All the other answers that I could give in life and that I could seek after, all the other solutions I could try to find, I reject them all today. God is the correct answer." Friend, I encourage you, it's time for you to recognize that God is the answer to everything in life. He always is. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I ask that you would take this message, use it in whatever way is needed. I pray if there's someone here this morning who's been trying to give a lot of other answers for their eternal destiny, their salvation, I pray, Lord, that today somehow you would just take this message and really make it clear to them that only what Jesus did is the correct answer. Nothing else added to it. Lord, I pray that they would come to you today and be saved by trusting in you alone for their salvation. Lord, I pray for someone in this room maybe that's been struggling with a sin issue, and they've been trying to work on it on their own, and they've been trying to gain the victory through their own strength. God, I pray that they would realize you're the correct answer. They can't. And that they would come to you today and depend upon you. Lord, I pray for someone who's been running from you, maybe. They've been trying to go to something else other than you to find their satisfaction. Lord, would you draw them to yourself today, I pray. That they would find where the true joy is, that they would find where the right answer is in you. We ask this for your glory, Lord, because when we come to you, it glorifies you. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.